is the programming unit. So you transfer all their particulars from the family registration card to the RISE card.
Yeah.
Then you didn't have to say put your child behind the family registration card.
No need. We put on the card. They get from us our card.
The RISE card. Was it called a RISE card?
RISE card, yeah.
So, besides their particulars being written on the RISE card, what other things have to be recorded down?
Yeah, nothing. It's only a column, say, for 52 weeks, 1 year. So, every time they correct RISE, you just fill in the blank, fill in the blank. When the card is used out, you give another card.
When I come and collect RISE, you fill in. What would you have to fill in?
The date, the particular, how many cathedrals, they take all these things. You see, it's all printed there, you just fill in the form only.
When was this card system introduced? I mean, the RISE card system. Immediately when it became the RISE retailer?
Yes, immediately when you are a retailer.
You mean right from the beginning?
Right from the beginning.
So after, did the Japanese have a specific quota that you had to sell to the family?
Yes, that's what I told you. Men, how many cathedrals? Woman, how many cathedrals? Children, how many cathedrals? And baby, how much cathedrals? All stated there.
Did they specify that they cannot buy beyond certain cathedrals per week or per month?
Cannot. They cannot. We cannot sell them also. We're instructed not to sell more than that. We sell more to them, we lose our stock.
Which meant that it's always fixed, the quantity is always fixed.
All fixed.
Unless they have a new person.
Yeah. And then they got another children or so like that at in.
Could you remember roughly how many cathedrals would a male be entitled to, a female,
and a
child?
I cannot remember the actual cathedral, you see. I cannot remember.
The family could come to your shop anytime to get the to buy the rice.
Anytime. Any office time.
Would they choose what kind of rice they want?
They cannot choose.
You mentioned that you make a little profit from business. How good was that? Was it sufficient for your family?
I think it's quite enough for the expenses of that. It's enough. It's quite good.
Did you ever have shortage of rice to sell to the consumers?
You mean we got extra rice to sell to countries? Sorted? No.
It's always sufficient.
You see, sometimes if they always give us enough stock. If we don't have enough, you see, we can always apply. If they are short supply, if we are short supply, you can always supply. And if our shop is run out of stock, we ask them, the fellow come back. But you surely know enough. Always you got enough stock, enough rice.
Did it mean that every month the family could only buy up to a maximum amount from you?
Yeah.
So that would ensure that you have sufficient stock to sell
them
per month?
Yeah. Besides, we always got a balanced stock in the a certain amount of stock balance in the shop, you see. In case for emergency or anything like that, you see.
Okay. where did you get this balance from?
No, they gave it. They allowed us to carry a certain amount of stock, you see, extra stock. But we cannot sell that. We have to rotate and keep it. You see, we keep the new stock and sell the old stock. We keep the new stock and sell the rotate all the time.
The full control department allow. How many
cases would they allow you? They see how much you sell. You see, they give you about 30-40% extra. Always to keep in the shop, you see. Suppose if I sell 100 bags a month, they may allow me 30 bags extra. If that retailer sells 50 bags a month, he may allow, say, 15 or 10 bags like that. It depends upon the quantity you sell, the amount you sell.
The price was always fixed by the Japanese.
Yeah.
Did change for the price for
the consumers? I remember no change at all. The food is a very important thing, see. They don't want to change it and they don't want to disturb the public, you see.
They don't have to exhibit price list?
No. It's all fixed everywhere now.
You mentioned that you have to report to the food control department every
month.
Did the Japanese ever come to your shop to inspect how you conduct your business?
No. The Japanese never come, but sometimes the food control department, they do send officials to come out and check. Actually, very few Japanese.
Was it possible to ever report less or report more? Was it possible to ever do such a thing during that time?
It's possible to put. Your addition may go wrong, this and that. But the account department, they check you. They will correct you.
Possible to make a deliberate
additional
so they can get more rice?
No, it is difficult to make a mistake. Unless you get in contact with the clerk who check your account. Because you have to submit your account for checking, you see. And unless you arrange with that man to overlook it, then it's possible.
So instead of 100 bags, perhaps you submit that you need 110 bags, and you just ask the clerk to overlook that. Did this counting happen?
That is that I cannot say. You see, it could be. I don't know.
Initially, when you came out, you mentioned that your shop was, the previous shop was destroyed by fire.
Yeah.
So, how did you set up your business again?
We got another shop. We rent another shop from in Jurong. We start our business in Jurong. Jurong Jalan Kecil now. It's same Bukit Timah village. Bukit Minyam village consists of Bukit Timah and Jurong. You see, we are in Bukit Timah side, now we move to Jurong side.
How did you get this place at Jurong?
At that time, after the Japanese came in, there is a lot of empty houses, you see, which you can get easy.
Whose
place
was it? From whom did you get this place to sell your rice?
I think from the village people. It was a distant relation from me. Quite a distant one. Should be my mother's side. My mother's cousin or something like that.
Did you buy from the person or did you rent from?
No, we rent the thing. Rent the house just for about 1 year or so. Then we rebuilt our old house, our old shop. We got burned, we rebuilt it. And we moved back to Bukit Timah side again.
How was the structure,
but
was it a two-story?
No. It was a one row of shop houses with plank wall and small tiles. Simply like that.
So it was a shop where you sell your
rice? At the beginning, yes.
And where did your
family
stay?
We stay further in Jurong.
Not at the same place?
Not in the same place. That place, it's too small, very small.
Can you remember how much rent you have to pay for that shop?
I don't know. It's very cheap, I think. I don't know how the Japanese classing worked out. At that time, all used Japanese classing, so mixed up.
When you had that shop, did you have to report to the Japanese where you put up your shop?
Yes. When you get your license, you have to let them know where you are selling your rice.
So after that, did you have to get a license for the shop itself?
What do you mean a license?
For the place that you rent, did you have to get any permit or?
No need.
So, when you had the shop and had the rice from the Japanese, how did you first start your business? How do you get the people to register with you?
I opened myself. You just open the door. And you got the rice there, people come, you just register it. At that time, I do it myself and my brother, no labor. We do it all my ourselves. Even the rice coming from town, we have to carry ourselves to the shop from the lorry. Not fully, we do it all by ourselves at that time.
But when you first opened your shop, how did people know that they can register with you? Did you go around to tell them?
No need. They know, because we are very, I mean our business has very, has been there very long already. We got our customers, you see. Once we open only, they come back to us. Our old customer, they come back to us.
Were they registered elsewhere before?
Even if they register other places, they can come back to us by surrender the other card, you see.
So, could you remember when you just started, how was your business like? How many customers did you have?
Oh, it's difficult, you see. Very difficult. We start with 10 or 20 families, slowly going up. Later on, we became quite a big retailer in the village.
Did the Japanese
approve
of the place in Jurong
when
you set up your shop there?
You see, they don't care where your shop is, they don't come and see. As long as you are a rice dealer before, they issue a license. And they don't care anything about you.
They did not come and inspect whether there were a lot of people.
No. They know, you see, British time, how many retailers, there's a food controller also. There's how many retailers. So they just follow the system, there will be just enough retailer for the thing. They just follow the British style. They use all the same people and all these things.
Started,
how was the relationship like among dealers in the same thing? Was there any kind of competition or any of that sort? As before the war, trying to get customers? At the time, no worries, worrying about business. Just make enough money for living, that's all right. There's no much skin competition.
What about your relationship with your customers?
I think it's very good, you see. At first, everybody come to us, we know them. But later on, you see, you know, selling this rice is a bit difficult, you see. Sometimes they got good quality rice, sometimes a bit poorer. And then later on the rice retailer, they start complaining, saying the quality is too poor, the other retailer quality is better. All these things happen only later on. Because we get what they give us, we cannot see and we cannot choose. And sometimes you get good quality rice, they don't say anything. If my shop get poor quality rice, the other shop get good, better quality rice, you start complaining. Rice retailer is a difficult thing to do at that time.
Consumers
want to change retailers,
they could.
Were
there many such changes?
You see, if you make your change, next time the retailer may get not high grade rice, I may get good rice. How can you change him that? He don't know where he's get. When they make a complaint, we explain to him this thing, we cannot do anything. Not say like pre-war, what you want, you see and you buy. And then we can go to town, we see what rice and we buy. Now we pay the money they give, what type of rice, we simply accept it. So you have to accept that. Sometimes you get good one, sometimes you get a bit low quality one. If you are going to change here and there, you may end up bad rice every time. And some, of course, they understand, but some, they are very fussy.
Did they complain about getting not enough rice?
No, I think Japan's time they got enough rice. Because they got tapioca, they got sweet potatoes, all these things to subsidize. If only rice, of course, it's not enough.
What about those people who move out of the village? Do they have to report that to you when they move to another place?
Permanently or what? Permanently, they have to alter their cut. Otherwise, you see, they have to come very far to correct their rice. If they alter their address to say from Bukit Timah to Serangoon Road, they could go there and get his rice.
How would they have to change their address? Do they report to the retailers or would they report direct to the food control department?
You see, at the beginning, I have no idea. I think I have to report to the food controller. But later on, they have report to the one star or two star man, you see. When you move out, you see, they have to move. At the beginning, they don't have this star man, they have to report to the food controller.
And then the food controller will inform the rice retailer?
I think they will alter his card. No need to inform us. They will alter his card, and then he can go to the other Sanggulungat site there to register.
As a retailer, you would have one family left, so would the food control department give you less rice? Because now one family registered with you have rate.
Yeah.
So they will deduct.
So that's why every month we have to send our report.
Even with the card system, you still have to send your reports.
Yeah, every month. How much we sell this and that.
So how would you be informed of like one of the families registered under you? Change,
remove
from their place.
Well, even if they don't inform us, you see, they will not collect from us. So you don't record his sale, you see. So slowly, his name will be off the record.
What if
the
rice retailer doesn't have the man did not inform you? He stayed for the first half a month in your place, and after he removed to Serangoon Road, for instance. Then for the next half of the month, you already have his quota, so which means that you would have excess rice.
Yeah.
What would you do with that excess rice?
No, I keep the excess rice.
Okay. Do you have to return to the Japanese?
No, I just keep the balance, because every time you got the balance.
Those rice that were supposed to be for this family, you keep it?
You keep it as a balance. When the balance is exceed a certain amount, they cut us less a bit.
Which means you still have to report to the Japanese how much excess do you have?
Yes. Every month we have to report. What stock we have, what stock we sell, what balance we have.
Initially, did you have to help
register those people who change the address and all that? Did those people go through you instead of go straight to the Japanese department? Actually, they have to go to the government department to alter, but not by us, not by the retailer. The retailer has no power to alter that family card. The card.
Was there any kind of a rice association during that time?
No association. All under the government.
All dealings were direct with the Japanese department?
Japanese department. Only later on. Beginning all to the Japanese.
Later on, how did they change the system?
Later on, also through the government, but the wholesaler have to sell, they import rice, but they have to sell to the government sell for them. And the wholesaler make a certain profit. And whether the government make or not, we don't know. We make a profit. But all their rice, what they import is all under the government control. They are not supposed to sell freely.
You mean in the beginning, all the supply of rice you get direct from the food control to the department control, they go down. In the beginning,
yeah.
And there was no wholesalers or something.
We have to pay money to the government.
All direct to the government.
To the government. But later on, there is wholesaler who import rice. We have to deliver rice the same way, but we pay money to the wholesaler. But we have to deliver our goods from the godown also, under the food controller instruction.
So in the beginning, the Japanese government was the one who imported rice.
Yeah.
was there a Japanese company in charge of all this?
No. Later on, other business, yes. Beginning all by the military, I think.
Government. When did this wholesale system come into being?
It's quite a number of years, about 3 years or so, later on. 2 or 3 years.
About 1940?
40, say about 41 they came in, 42 I think, 42 or 43. I remember quite a long time. When they start this, not long or this, the Japanese about finished already.
The wholesale system came in.
Then the Japanese about to fall already.
A few months or a year?
About a year or something like that. A few months.
Before the Japanese selected. You mean that when the wholesaler system came in, the Japanese government did not have to do the importing themselves?
Yeah.
Can you tell us how that system was run? How would the wholesaler go and import the rice?
You see, there is before the war, there is a wholesaler who import the rice, see. And then after the war, the Japanese took over this type of business. They have nothing to do. Later on, they approached the Japanese government about this and think the Japanese government allowed them to import, to do the business, you see, to back their business. I think it must be easier for the Japanese government also.
The importing of rice was not done by the food control department?
From the beginning, yes. Now, no. Later on, no. But the wholesaler were allowed to import. But they are not allowed to sell. But I understand they are allowed to sell a very small percentage on the free market, you see.
When the wholesaler took over, what did the food control department do then?
They have to import, say, everything for the Japanese government. They do make a certain percentage of profit.
So what would the food control department come into the picture then?
Slowly, the food controller department is trying to get away from the business already. They try not to control too many things already. Like, it seems like everything is alright, so they don't want to control too much. Everything they are letting loose, going back to normal. For the civilian to do their own business, you see. Instead of controlling everything. Even the sugar, liquor, cigarette, later on, they don't control, you see. At first, everything is controlled. Control price everywhere.
So at first, control
was right at the top, controlling air control system in Singapore. So, did you know why did they give it to the local people to do it instead of giving it to their own Japanese companies to do it? I think at that time they don't have enough Japanese people to do all these things. Though it's under Japanese occupation, see, there's very few Japanese here. It's all run by the local people. Only the top men are the Japanese.
So,